Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here is the latest podcast from our current teaching series, You Were Made for This.
Well, last week we talked about being shaped, and we talked about the shape of spiritual gifts, and talked about what a spiritual gift is, and that it is not so much a special ability as it is a special opportunity, an opportunity for God's grace to stretch us and change us and use us and teach us, all these things going together. So today I want us to talk about being stretched, something you probably enjoy, right? Everybody likes being stretched, right? Out of your comfort zone. That's what we're all looking for, right? Maybe not, but it's maybe what we ought to be looking for. I'd like us to start today by just looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. We'll use this as a starting point. But today, I want to start with Paul's remarks in Philippians, but then we're going to do just a whirlwind tour through a bunch of personalities and people through the Scripture who have been stretched. And the list could be a 20-week sermon series, actually, maybe a two-year sermon series of people who've been stretched. If you read through the Scriptures, you see time and time and time again that the person doing what God has called them to do is doing something they did not expect to do, something they did not feel good at, something that they felt unprepared to do. But they stretched. They leaned into it. So let's start in Philippians chapter 3. Paul says this, starting in verse 12, second half of verse 12. He says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now let's just pause there. Do you see any purpose in that first sentence? He says, I'm pressing, and by the way, the word press or push, implicit in that word is resistance. You don't have to push if there's nothing pushing back. Okay? He says, I'm pressing on. I'm exerting myself. I'm exerting effort in order that I might take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. So, right there in the first verse, I believe there is a purpose for my life. And I believe it's going to require some effort. I'm going to have to stretch into that, right? Okay? Verse 13, he says, brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I haven't arrived. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And just a couple of quick things there. He says, one thing I do, and every time I read that, I always have to smile because he says, this one thing I do, and then he lists a few things. Okay? And at first I thought, Paul, you should have said, here's a couple of things I do. Until the more I thought about it and meditated it, I realized it's all part of the one thing. He says, this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. Okay, his progress toward the goal, his progress toward taking hold of God's purpose for his life, which is he describes here as heavenward, his goal requires that he do a couple of things. That is, let go of some things and stretch for some things. And you know what? You cannot embrace God's good future and God's good plan for your life and keep holding to all the stuff that's got you anchored into the past and the present. Does that make sense? You can't stretch forward while holding anchored to the backward. Okay? And he describes this as straining toward what is ahead, pressing toward a goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And once again, every time I see the word heaven, I want you to start having a bigger view of the word heaven. Don't just think clouds and harp music when you hear the word heaven. Or don't just think about in the sweet by and by in eternity. Remember, Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, every earthly thing a Christian does is heavenward. You see what I mean? Heavenward isn't just like a destination for someday. Heavenward is a perspective for now. Heavenward is just another way of saying Christ-centered. Heavenward is just another way of saying what God wants done. Okay? So Paul talks about stretching and straining and pushing forward and letting go of some stuff in order that he might do the heavenward thing that God has called him to do, right? So, last week I talked about how a spiritual gift was not so much a special ability, but a special opportunity where God's Spirit can, by His grace, help you grow into it. Okay? In other words, when you think about spiritual gifts, you should be thinking of, it's a gift. Every role God gives me is a gift. And it is a spiritual gift. Because it is something that I can only do with God's help. Okay? Everything God calls me to do is a spiritual gift because that gift, that opportunity, gives me a chance to draw upon the power of the Holy Spirit, God's grace, to get it done. Okay? Because you know, don't you know deep down in your heart that the thing that that the whole Christian walk is about going someplace you haven't been yet? Don't you understand stretching is just like another synonym for being a Jesus follower? Have you, anybody arrived and you're following Jesus, you're there? How many of you think that to follow Jesus is going to demand something from you that you don't yet have? Raise your hand. Okay, the rest of you just haven't figured this out. It's a universal truth. To follow Jesus is to be stretched. To want to accomplish what God has called you to do is to sign up for transformation. It's to sign up for something bigger than you. And does that not sound like the gospel? I mean, really, doesn't it make sense that God would make you to need Him? And that's not just true from some sense of personal satisfaction or peace, but it's actually true in terms of your calling. The thing you're made to do is bigger than you can do on your own. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus following is about. Because here's some statements that probably you could, all of you Jesus followers out there would give assent to. That we believe not just in what is, but in what could be. Can I get an amen? Okay, it wasn't real convincing, but... sort of a religious amen you just gave me there. Amen. You know, I do. We believe not just in what is, but what could be. Right? That to be a Jesus follower is to not just believe in what we are, but in what we can become. Right? Hell, we're waking up. Go, Gloria. Yeah. Gloria just made the podcast. Okay. We believe not just in our abilities, but also our possibilities. Right? Well, do you know how many times your personal life, your family, your church, your Christian experience has been diminished by not holding on to these possibilities? Josh Wozniak sent me an email this week. I'm glad he did. It was a really cool article. It was on the Feed My Starving Children blog. How many of you have been to Feed My Starving Children? It's something we've done here. Oh, look at that. That's awesome. Good. Well, this blog post, and I have to tip my hat, you know, as a daily blogger myself, I have to tip my hat to the person that wrote this blog because their headline made me read it. And the headline said this, "No more Feed My Starving Children." And I was like, what? What's going on? And which I think is what she wanted to have happen. I clicked it open, and in this article, in this blog post, I think it was a woman. Was it a woman, Josh? I think so. She's somebody on staff at Feed My Starving Children, and she said that she was working with some volunteers, and she was trying to encourage some of the kids that were there volunteering. And one of the volunteers, one of the kids she talked to, the kid was 11 years old. And she was trying to encourage this kid to keep coming, you know, because people like this woman writing the blog and Josh Watzak, they don't just want you to volunteer. They want Feed My Starving Children to be part of your life, right? An ongoing thing that you do. Anyway, so she says, to, if you've ever been there, that we pack meals, and once the meal gets packed in a bag, then they put it in this little machine here, and then it seals the bag, so it's ready for shipping, okay? Makes the bag airtight for shipping. And so she said to this 11-year-old volunteer, she said, just think, someday you'll get to run the heat sealer. She thought, you know, she thought this little boy would think that was great, that he'd get to run the heat sealer someday. And she got the surprise of her life because he said, well, I'm only 11 years old, and by the time I'm 18, we probably won't need Feed My Starving Children anymore. You see, they've got volunteer kids with a bigger vision than the people working there. That little kid said, well, hey, if everybody would be like me and jump in and do their part, surely we'll get this starvation thing under control. You see, how many times does the kingdom of God, how many times do we not become what we could be or not get done what we could get done because we've sort of just made peace with our limits, that we've stopped imagining, that we've stopped being people of the possibility. And that kid says, hopefully by the time I'm 18, we won't need Feed My Starving Children. That's an embrace of what could be. And for you and I to enter God's purpose, to take hold of God's purpose and plan for our lives, we need to believe in the power of God, and we need to accept our calling. And to do that is to embrace being stretched. Because when you look at things like what needs to be done at church or what needs to be done at Feed My Starving Children, when you look at that stuff, it's bigger than us. When you look at what it's going to take to be the dad your family needs or the husband your wife needs, or the wife your husband needs, or the teacher your youth need, it's bigger than you. And so to do it and to want to do it well is to sign up for being stretched, right? Which, by the way, is how you learn things and become things. You know, sometimes we say, I don't know if I was made to do that. And what we need to realize is this, that sometimes doing that is what makes us. Did you hear that? It's not about sitting around going, well, what do I feel like doing, or what do I think I'm good at, or what can I do, what do I know how to do? It's more seeing the opportunity and saying, by God's grace, with God's help, I'm going to stretch into that and become what God has in mind for me to be. By the way, my brother Josh back here, every month he is scrambling the last week before Feed My Starving Children Day. He's scrambling to fill the volunteers. And it's not because people don't care. It's just because we're busy people, right? So could we give Josh a present this month? The answer is yes. Say yes, Dave. What I'd really love you to do is go to the website. I think there's a picture or something like this. If it's not, I'll go home and do this. But you can go and sign up. What I'd really love, I want to start getting emails from Josh saying, Dave, could you please make an announcement that we have too many people signed up and that they can slow down a little bit now, okay? So let's try to fill up that next workday while we're at it. Okay, well, let's do a quick survey through some Bible people. Some people who are known for accomplishing great things. And let's look at the ways they were stretched, because being stretched comes in lots of different flavors, and one of them is just in your abilities. How many of you know the story of Moses being called by God, and God makes himself known through this burning bush, right? And you remember there was something special about that burning bush, that the bush was completely emblazoned with flames, right? But the bush was not consumed. Now, see, that's just a great opportunity for a preacher to start guessing. And for no extra charge, I'm giving you some bonus speculation here. I don't think this will hurt you if I'm wrong, and it might even help you, even if I'm wrong. Sometimes speculation is like that, you know? But I have, as a person who's read that story time and time and time again, every time I go through the Bible, I don't know, I think about 10, 15 years ago, I started reading that, and every time I get to it, I thought, this is just too much of a picture of what God is asking from Moses, to be completely overtaken. And you would think that to be completely overtaken would deplete you and spend you and consume you, but instead, it just makes you what you can be. It's just the glory of God blazing. It's not eating you up. It's making you something special. Because the call of God in Moses' life was a call that would take everything. It would take everything. But it didn't consume him. It made him a vessel for God's glory. He accomplished great things for God. But that's not how we felt when God called him. In fact, after God sort of laid out his plan, here's some things I'd like you to do. In chapter 4, verse 10, Moses says, pardon me, Lord, if I could just butt in here a minute. It's a great plan you're laying out and everything, God, but pardon me, but I don't know if you know this, but I've never been eloquent. Neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. You don't understand, God. When you get me in front of Pharaoh, I can't think of what to say. I stutter. This is something, you need somebody with the ability of being a good speaker, God. You need somebody that's fast, able to think on their feet for this, God. God says, okay, simmer down. Who exactly made your mouth? Who is it that makes the deaf or the mute? Who is it that gives sight to the blind? It's me, right? That's what God says. So go and do what I tell you. When God taps you on the shoulder and gives you an opportunity, it is understandable but not appropriate for you to say, Lord, could I just suggest to you that you're picking the wrong person? In fact, what's he say? He says, God says, go, I'll help you. I will teach you what to say. And Moses' response is, yeah, that's good, but is there somebody else that you could stretch? Is there somebody else that this would work for? You see, to do what God calls you to do, you're going to have to stretch. You're going to have to be willing to say, this is something I can't do on my own, but with God's help, even though it's outside my skill set or outside my comfort zone, with God's help, maybe I could do this. And do you know how skill sets and comfort zones get changed? It's usually by doing things. And with God's grace, discovering like, whoa, I did that? It's a good thing. Another person in the Bible that gets stretched is Gideon. Gideon, you can read about him in the book of Judges. He is one of the judges, one of the deliverers. This is early in the children of Israel haven't been in the promised land that long, and they certainly haven't established a kingdom or a government or a military. It's very tribal. When they went into the promised land, there were some people who were already there who weren't really thrilled about their coming into the promised land. And so when they would build a house, some of these people would come in and tear down the house. And if they'd plant a crop, they'd come and burn the crop. It was a way of making the Israelites feel like you're barking up the wrong tree to set up, to think of this as your land. Okay? And so they needed deliverers once in a while because they were overwhelmed by the surrounding peoples that wanted to see them gone. And one of those people groups was the Midianites. And the Midianites, at the time of Gideon, were so vigilant that you didn't even want to make a sandwich out there on the counter because somebody would come and take it away from you. And so when we meet Gideon in the book of Judges, he's hiding in a wine press because that's a place where he can kind of harvest some grain and nobody will see him. Now, if you're God and you're looking for a courageous leader to deliver your people, I can't think of a more inappropriate place than a guy hiding in a wine press. But that's what God does. God taps him on the shoulder. And here's a man who, it's not just when we meet him in a wine press, as he talks to God, we see this is a guy that is fearful and not really confident. And he's certainly not looking for to be a hero. And in Judges 6, it says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Am I not giving you an opportunity? And Gideon's response is, pardon me, Lord. This happens a lot in the Bible. People, God says, I have a call for you. And they go, excuse me, isn't that for somebody else? Wrong number. Pardon me, Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. You've chosen not one of the big, strong tribes of Israel, and my family isn't one of the big families in that weak tribe. And in my family, I'm the weakling of my own family. You have really, I don't know who sent you to me, God, but isn't there somebody else? And God says, be courageous. I will help you do this. I'm calling you. And if you're going to do what God's calling you, if you're going to embrace an opportunity that's before you, you're going to have some courage. You're going to have to be stretched that way. You're also going to have to be stretched emotionally. Because you live in a broken world, and the call of Christ in a broken world is to be a vessel of redemption. Somebody asked me once, what does that mean? And what it means is you take something that's broken and you exchange it for something that's whole. You redeem it. You heal it. You save it. And to do this, you're going to have to bear some burdens and make some sacrifices. I don't know if you can be the father of a son that leaves and spends everything and goes into the far country if you can't be a father that can let go of the past and embrace the return of a son. You know that story from Luke? There's all kinds of stories like that. One of the most dramatic stories like this in the Old Testament is the prophet Hosea. The prophet Hosea prophesied at a time when Israel, the nation of Israel, had been utterly unfaithful to God. The kingdom was busted apart. They were just hanging on by a thread. Gone were the days of the glory of Moses and the glory of King David. Those were gone. Those were distant memories, not even memories in the lives of many people. And God, in the first chapter of the prophet Hosea, it says this, verse 2, when the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, Hosea, go marry a promiscuous woman. Maybe your Bible says prostitute. Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. Why? For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. What? Here's what God's saying. Hosea, you are going to be an icon. You are going to be an embodiment of who I am. You are going to be a lived out, you are going to be a flesh and blood object lesson of who I am. You're not going to be one of these prophets that's just up telling people, you know, turn or burn. You're going to be a prophet that demonstrates my deepest heart for the people. And he says, right now, the nation of Israel, right now my people have been utterly unfaithful to me. He says, I don't want you to marry a woman who is unfaithful so that you can show people what God love looks like. God love never gives up. God love always saves, always heals, always redeems. God love always accepts the sacrifice and the hurt in order to let go of the past and move toward a redemptive, happy, beautiful future. If you've never read the book of Hosea, it's not the easiest book to get the story from. It's kind of wound around the prophecy stuff. But what happens is ultimately this woman that her name is Gomer. It's a lovely name, isn't it? Yes. He marries this woman. She is unfaithful to him. She, despite all of his love and his forbearance, she leaves him. And one day he finds her destitute and sick on the auction block in the marketplace. And he doesn't come up to her and say, see, you should have stuck with me. He doesn't come up to her and say, serves you right. You know what he does? He buys her. And he takes her home, not to be a pity case, but to be his wife, who he loves. God says, that's what it's like. That's what my love is like. I'm calling you, Hosea, to be an incarnation of agape, selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. Will you do that? Does this sound like a call anybody has made in your life? Does this sound at all like Jesus saying, follow me, live out, pick up your cross, and make some sacrifices to be part of God's unconditional, redeeming, saving, forgiving love? Your life, your family, your church, your community, the witness of the gospel in the world is not going to happen if we're not willing to be stretched into being this kind of forgivers. And I don't have that kind of forgiveness in me. I need the grace of God to help me have that. Peter. Good old Peter in the New Testament. There's a story where Peter has this vision where, you know, you would think Peter, he was a fisherman. He wasn't exactly like, you know, top class, you know, he probably wasn't going to all the nicest restaurants and talking to the most important people. But Peter had his limits of who he would hang out with. Because as an observant Jew, Peter knew that there were some things he shouldn't eat. There were some long established barriers and divisions, and he wanted to respect them. And one of those was the division between the Gentiles and the Jews. And God tells Peter through a series of visions that, Peter, I want you to cross that barrier. There are some things that you have thought are barriers that you should not cross, and I'm challenging you. Get stretched. Some of the walls are coming down. God's work in the world is going to require you getting out of your comfort zone and going some places, being with some people, being in some circumstances that you wouldn't normally think were in your comfort zone or your gifts. But God says, get free, go for it. In Acts chapter 10, when Peter, after he's had these visions, see, he's been called by this Gentile man, Cornelius. And Peter's like, well, I wouldn't go to that guy's house. He's a Gentile. God gives him this vision and says, that's a barrier I'm breaking down. And by the way, Galatians chapter 3, read the end of that chapter. You'll see God's interested in breaking down a lot of barriers. In Christ, there is no male or female, slave, free, Jew, Gentile. Evidently, God is interested that in Christ, we can be redeemed to the point that some of these barriers we can grow past, we can stretch through. And when Peter comes to the door of Cornelius' home, and he sees that Cornelius and the whole family have been waiting for him and expecting him, clearly God has set the stage for this, Peter exclaims, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. If we're going to take the call and accomplish what God has in mind for us, our heavenward calling, we're going to have to stretch into some new frontiers of relationship. In the Gospel of Mark, we read about a man whose son was, the father says, my son has a demon, and he keeps, when he sees a fire or the water, light on the water, he tries to do self-harm. He tries to throw himself into, he's a danger to himself. And so he comes to Jesus, because he came to the disciples and they couldn't do anything. So he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, if you could do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus says, if I can, everything is possible for the one who believes. If I can, listen, friend, you came to the right place to stretch out for a possibility. There's a lot of possibility. You came to the right place. And then immediately the boy's father exclaims, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. There are some things that even those of us who have faith need more faith. And to embrace some of the possibilities and some of the things that seem like impossibilities in our lives, in our community, in our world, we can't just live in the little bit of faith we have that's getting us by. We need to increase our faith so that we are still hoping for the what seems impossible to be possible. So are we straining? Are we stretching? We need to stretch in our abilities. So we have to ask ourselves, am I willing to grow into new possibilities? Am I willing to take a risk? Do something that's kind of scary to me, something that's kind of kind of gives me the nerves to do that. Well, are you willing to stretch? Are you willing to forgive? Are you willing to suffer loss, make a sacrifice in order to heal and redeem? Are you ready to tear down some boundaries and, you know, quit saying, well, that's not the kind of people I normally hang out with. Well, you should do that. I'm not really that kind of person, really. The people who are going to accomplish what God has in mind for them are not people that are being exclusive and saying, I'm only going to be around the people it's easy to be around. They get stretched. They tear down barriers. And finally, they grow in their faith. They dare to dream. Now, once in a while when I'm preparing a sermon, something crazy will happen where I will just like literally finish writing something like this, and then I'll hear something on the radio or read something that, you know, I don't know if it really corresponds or just it's the fact that it happened in succession that I see a connection, you know, but I had literally just thought of these points and just finalized them out, and I was out on a walk. I've been doing a lot of walking lately. I was out on a walk, and I was listening to a podcast, and in the podcast, they were talking about, like, the Civil Rights Movement, and they mentioned Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and they played part of his I Have a Dream speech, and I had just formulated this, like, growing in faith, stretching, embracing hope, daring to dream. And then I go out and put on the earbuds and go for my walk and I'm listening, I have a dream. And I had just articulated all these things. And somehow as I was listening to that speech, it just hit me. The reason that speech from that man in that place, in that time, resonates so powerfully in my heart is I realized is because that man had to stretch and do things that were hard. That he had to have courage and take risks, and that he had to be willing to let go of past hurts in order to embrace the possibilities, new possibilities. He had to tear down barriers. He had to be a person who had a dream. That somehow, if he gave his life to this, that it would be a grace-filled opportunity and that God might actually change the world through that kind of obedience. And I don't know. I know he wasn't a perfect guy, and I know, I mean, None of us are perfect either. But you know what? I look at that and I think there's something that powerful and resonant with that. And you know what parts are powerful and resonant? The parts that match up with the gospel. Let's pray. God, help us to be willing to stretch. Make us the people you want us to be. And when we aren't already the people you need, help us to embrace the opportunity that you might use that calling to make us into the person you've called us to be. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.